"All right, Master Lathic," Sir Duncan Yearly said. "I think it's about time." "Aye, sir," the First Lieutenant responded gravely and beckoned to Hector. "Stand ready, Master Aplin Armach," he said, and Hector nodded. Under the rather special circumstances obtaining at the moment, he'd been specifically instructed not to salute in acknowledgement, where anyone on the enemy ship might see it, and moved idly a bit closer to the hatch gratings at the center of Destiny's spar deck. He glanced down through the latticework at the gun deck below. The long 30-pounders were run out and waiting to starboard, and he smiled as he noted the gun crew's distribution. It was not a particularly pleasant expression.
"Man tacks and braces!" he heard Lathic shout behind him.
Commodore Waylar stood on Archangel Chihiro's poop deck, gazing at the steadily approaching Carizian ship. It was evident to him that Captain Abbott had been less than delighted to discover just how powerful their adversary actually was. Well, Waylar hadn't been tempted to turn any celebratory cartwheels himself. And although all of the Commodore's previous combat experience might have been solely on land, his ships had conducted enough gunnery drills for him to suspect their accuracy was going to prove dismal. To some extent, though, that should be true for both sides, and the fact that he had almost twice as many total guns ought to mean he'd score more total hits as well, assuming he could bring all of them into action.
"So far, he's doing what Abbott predicted, Haram," he reminded himself. "Now, if he just goes on doing it."
At least, before they'd separated to their present distance from one another, Archangel Chihiro and Blessed Warrior had been able to come close enough together for Willar and Abbott to confer with Captain Thomas Montaigne, Blessed Warrior's commanding officer, through their speaking trumpets. Montaigne was a good man, junior to Abbott, and a little younger, but also the more aggressive of the two, and he'd understood exactly what Abbott and Waylar had in mind. The Commodore was confident of that, and also that he could rely on Montaigne to carry through on his instructions. More than that, it was evident Abbott's prediction that the enemy would attempt to engage just one of Waylar's ships if the opportunity were offered had been accurate. By deliberately opening a gap between the two Desnarian galleons, he and Waylar had offered up Archangel Chihiro as what had to be a tempting target. If the Carizian kept to larboard, closing in on Archangel Chihiro's downwind side, she could range up alongside Waylar's flagship and pound her with her superior number and weight of guns, when none of Blessed Warrior's guns could be brought to bear in the flagship's support. But when the enemy ship took the offered advantage, Montaigne would execute the instructions he'd been given earlier. Blessed Warrior would immediately alter course, swinging from her heading of north-northwest to one of west by north, or even west-southwest, taking the wind almost dead abeam. That course would carry her directly across the Carizian ship's bow, giving her the opportunity to rake the larger, heavier galleon from a position in which none of the Carizian guns could bear upon her in reply. As soon as he'd crossed the Carizian's course, Montaigne would come back onto his original heading, by which time, if all had gone according to plan, the Carizian and Archangel Chihiro would have overtaken Blessed Warrior. The bigger galleon would be trapped between Waylar's two lighter vessels, where their superior number of guns ought to prove decisive.
"Of course, it's unlikely things will go exactly according to plan," Waylar reminded himself. "On the other hand, even if we don't pull it off exactly, we should still end up with the tactical advantage."
The Carizian wouldn't be able to turn away to prevent Blessed Warrior from raking her from ahead without exposing her equally vulnerable and even more fragile stern to Archangel Chihiro's broadside. She wouldn't have much choice but to remain broadside to broadside with the flagship. So, unless Archangel Chihiro took crippling damage to her rigging in the opening broadsides, or unless someone collided with someone else, the advantage should still go to the Desnarians.
And a collision will work to our advantage too, Wellar thought grimly.
Good as the Imperial Carizian Marines were, Wellar's crews would outnumber the Carizians by 2-1. A collision that let him board the larger ship and settle things with cold steel wouldn't exactly be the worst outcome he could imagine.